Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 30th day of March 2020. You know, the only thing better than having Reverend Jeff Thomas on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is having him on 2 days in a row. And we are going to be interviewing Reverend Thomas, God willing, today, March 30th, and tomorrow, Tuesday, March 31st. And I am so thrilled to have him back. He is one of my favorite guests of all time, as well as one of my favorite preachers of all time. He is, or should I say, was the pastor at Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales, for over half a century. And he is well known to Banner of Truth supporters for being a prolific writer and wonderful conference speaker. And he is going to be speaking today on the theme, Singing in the Church. And God willing, tomorrow, he is going to be speaking on the theme, Real Evangelism. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Reverend Jeff Thomas.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's a privilege and honor that you should ask me and say such nice things about me. You don't know me.
Well, I know you well enough. I know you, and I know that you're an excellent guest and an excellent preacher. And why don't you, for the sake of our listeners who are discovering you for the first time, why don't you let our listeners know about Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales, where you served as the under-shepherd, the pastor, for half a century, and and now, after your retirement, your grandson is pastoring there.
Yes, that's right. And it was possible to tune in and watch him as, you know, there are no services in the United Kingdom these days on Sundays. We can't gather together. We have to keep a yard apart from everyone else, and so we can watch him preaching online, and he's a fine preacher. He does well, and he's raising three little boys in the same parsonage where I raised three little girls those 50 years. And one of those little girls is his mother, and I had, I cut my teeth and learned my trade. And have many regrets, of course, and many blessings to thank God for. I suppose the greatest blessing was the number of men who went into the ministry, about 32. Somebody called it at an induction service recently that it's a conveyor belt into the ministry of students. I had my own little seminary there, my own log cabin in Aberystwyth, and those men are preaching the gospel all over the world. I suppose the most famous in America is Derek Thomas, and with me in the manse for a year, and then he became a Presbyterian. And
That's a shame, isn't it? he was one of the pastors in Mississippi for a while, correct? First Presbyterian in Jackson, Mississippi?
That's right. Yes, he went there, and then it's South Carolina that he is now, isn't it? In Hornwell's old pulpit.
Yes, I've interviewed him a number of times, and always...
I'm sure.
Always find it a joy.
Yes.
Well, if anybody wants to find out more about Alfred Place Baptist Church, especially if you live in the Aberystwyth, Wales area, or if you're going to be vacationing there, or you have family, friends, and loved ones there, I know that we have listeners not only in Wales generally, but we do have listeners in Aberystwyth. So if you'd like to find out more about that church, go to alfredplacechurch.org.uk. alfredplacechurch.org.uk.
Yeah. We have a big conference, you know, every August, but this year it's had to be cancelled, and it'll be strange. All the family get together. Next year it's going to be the second week of August as usual, and Cynthia Ferguson is the main speaker.
Wow.
Week, and that's a good time for Americans to come across, because we find such profit from Sinclair's ministry.
Yes, and I'm sure every regenerate person does, who has the privilege of ever hearing him. He is absolutely extraordinary, not only with his gifts behind the pulpit, like you, but also in his writing. Sometimes the two don't go hand in hand, but with both,
that's right,
with both you and Sinclair, they definitely do.
Oh, come on now, you flatterer.
No, believe me, I wouldn't have had you on 2 days in a row if I was only flattering you. Why don't you also tell our listeners who may be unfamiliar with Banner of Truth something about that ministry, since you have written for them and you also speak quite often at their conferences.
Yes. Well, it's been going now for 65 years. Ian Murray, the great gift to the church, the great biographer, the man with insight, who combines a number of strands, confessional Christianity, a belief in revival, a belief in the local church, a longing to God through prayer that God would come and bless and revive the work. The great biographer, there was Boswell to Johnson, and he was that in his role to Dr. Lloyd-Jones, and wrote those two magnificent biographies of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And Ian Murray is a wonderful gift, and he's been my mentor, and I've learned so much from him. And he's gathered a group of men around him, and though now he's in his mid to late 80s, he's still writing. And the men that he has invited to continue the editorial and the book choosing of work of the Banner of Truth, they continue the same high standards and the same high beliefs. And that has had an enormous influence over the last 60 to 70 years.
Amen. Well, one thing that is good to know about Banner of Truth, and another one of my favorite publishers, Solid Ground Christian Books, is that you know that whatever you buy from them, it will certainly be theologically sound, and you're never going to pick up something that is aberrant or anything like that. And unfortunately, you can't say that necessarily about all Reformed publishers, because there are men who identify themselves as Reformed today who have strayed into, I think, sometimes aberrant and bizarre teaching. But we thank God that there are still faithful, trustworthy men writing for Banner of Truth and Solid Ground Christian Books and Reformation Heritage Books and some other fine publishers.
Yeah.
BannerofTruth.org is the website for Banner of Truth, for those of you who want to look up that information. Well, the theme that you wanted to speak on for our first interview of our 2 day interview with you, or 2 days worth of interviews, I should say, with you, is singing in the church. Singing in the church. Singing in the church is something that is not only beautiful and glorious and wonderful, but it's also something that sadly is a topic of division, of great division, and even hostility in the body of Christ. The churches have even split over how and what one sings in the church. There's not, to my knowledge, any church that doesn't believe in singing at all. There have been in history people who were opposed to singing, strangely, even though it's a clear command in the New Testament. Why did you want to pick this subject in particular?
Well, I have been involved as a pastor in a university town with an intervarsity group at the local university, and their method of praise and singing, and my own congregation then, which is quite different in its use of a fine hymn book, something like the Trinity Hymnal, Grace Hymns, and the contrast and the questions people ask, why have you gone down a certain route in your choice of hymns and hymnody, and not done this other way, which is so very popular? And I've been to a number of fraternals recently in which we've talked about it together, and I put some thoughts together. And so I thought it would be useful to rehearse these things and to listen to any questions that come in and try to answer them. So that's why, Chris.
And why do you think that singing is so very important? Many of us who perhaps have less than spectacular voices, when we're in the worship service, sometimes we just mumble those hymns and songs quietly. Sometimes we're sitting near someone that we wish was doing that. but then of course you have those who are gifted belting out these beautiful hymns and just adding to the whole atmosphere of the worship. To those of our listeners who might think that singing is a more trivial matter, and that would probably be a minority today, because there are many churches in the modern age that dominate their worship services with singing, and perhaps perhaps to an excess where they leave far less time for the actual sermon, the preaching of the word. But why is this such an important thing?
Well, of course, you have one of the biggest books in the scriptures, the Book of Psalms, which is all to do with the communication personally, individually, to Almighty God. You have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, after preaching the greatest sermon and praying the greatest prayer, goes out from the upper room with his disciples, and they sing a psalm together. He and their voices blend together. And then Paul talks about singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as one of the marks of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Islam, it has no singing. Hinduism has no singing at all. But
I did not realize either of those things. I guess there in Islam, I'm assuming, though, there must be one person at least who sings at some point, because you have those famous recordings that we've all heard of somebody chanting or singing in Arabic. Over a microphone or a loudspeaker, I should say.
Yes, that's right. Calling the faithful to prayer from the minaret. Yes, but not all the men and women and the children together all singing as we do. That's unique. It's like our prayer meetings. A girl who came out of Islam and came to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, one of the things that struck her most when she was invited to a group of praying Christians, she'd never heard anyone pray like that. It was totally moving and convicting that they knew God and could speak to him instead of reciting the prayers at certain times of the day that they repeat. So, So singing is there. And then the picture that you have in heaven in the book of Revelation, you have again the praise and the instruments that they play to accompany their singing in heaven. So that there is a good biblical foundation for it. And then you have the early church, they sang psalms and that chanted their psalms right through to the Reformation. And then Luther wrote hymns like "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." There's the hymn of Calvin that we sing about the sure Redeemer that Jesus Christ is. And the Puritan period then, hymns began to be written, and Keach and Watts developed those things, and they were quickly taken up by the church. And the 18th century was the great period where you had the most fabulous, inspired poets who had such a grasp of cadence and vocabulary and balance and picture and full of pathos, like Charles Wesley and Isaac Watts and Toplady. That became then the foundation on which hymnody developed and went around the world.
Now, one text that is very interesting, a lot of people might gloss over this and not realize that there is something a little different in this text that refers to singing. But I'm speaking of Ephesians 5, verse 19. Most of the translations, not all, but most, including the New American Standard Bible, including the King James Version and the New King James Version, and the New International Version, most with few exceptions, render the wording of this as speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Speaking to one another. It doesn't say, although some of the translations say sing or singing, but most of them say speaking to one another. Is there something significant about saying it that way in that? And also, the thing that's interesting is that although we rightly view our worship as an audience, as having an audience of one, meaning God, at the same time, while we are worshiping God, this text says that we are speaking to one another.
Yes. It's corporate, certainly. That's the emphasis. Addressing one another may be the best way.
That's the ESV rendering of it.
Is that so? Yes, addressing one another in these. Well, the exclusive psalm singers say that is three categories of psalms, and we love to sing the psalms, but do not feel you can restrict it in that way to then three kinds of psalms. But we testify to one another in the presence of God. As we speak to God, we are also conscious that we are part of this worshiping group, and that we are affirming, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." We are affirming how how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear, and we are saying, that's my testimony. That's, I want you to know, you talked about listening to people around you singing, and there is something about an old saint who takes his glasses off and he knows the words inside out and he just sings from his heart.
Amen.
So I think there is so much there in the whole history of hymnody, and I tried in my years in Aberystwyth to teach the congregation 400 hymns that we sang, so that 8 a Sunday for 50 Sundays, so that we rarely repeated a hymn, and they grew to love them and to sing them, and we found new tunes. You know, the British hymn books have just got the words, and so it's very easy to introduce then some of the modern hymns and some Welsh hymns that aren't so well known except to us in Wales, and to bring them in. I did that. But over the last 40 years, there's been this shift now, and a number of factors. There's been a desire to attract youth and appeal to youth. What do young people like to sing? And that's been a very important question for some people, not for me. And then there have been Pentecostal influences, the kinds of singing that you see on religious television, and the baby boomer factor then of young people, alienated new converts, Jesus people, and church growth concerns then emphasizing the importance of numerical growth, and so that the music should be alluring and attractive to those people. And that came into America and into Britain, and it was allied to Afro-American emphases and the wonderful jazz and harmonies that they have brought into world music. And then there have been, you know, British hymn writers too that have written well, and we've added their tunes, and Hillsong in Australia then, they've a very different type of hymnody they've brought in, and all these factors have certainly come in. And so you have the kind of hymn singing that is seen today, and its hallmark is some contemporary language and a focus on worshippers' feelings. It is essentially the music of the affections. And there are the appeals in it to diverse groups. There's the appeal to the musically talented. You say, Chris, you're not amongst the bad group, but there are people, and oh, come and sing, come and bring your instruments with you, and that appeals to them. And then, oh, to the lonely, and to the teenagers, of course, not so much to theological professors or bank managers or the police, but to those groups, then people focus on them, not so much to old people. And that has had an enormous influence then in the diversity and the newness of much Christian hymn singing, so that extended periods of a church service are given over to music, and that becomes a common feature. Almost half the time that many worshippers gather together is spent in singing, and there are physical actions then that often accompany the songs. Hands are raised, and tends to be a relaxed time of enthusiastic informality, which is led from the front, and that's encouraged. And that is the sort of norm that people expect when they go to conferences. You have it now in the famous Keswick Convention in England. You have two committees there, and one committee then look after the pulpit and they choose the speakers. And then another committee, they're in charge of the music and the singing. And each one is very cautious about the other. We won't criticize you if you don't criticize us, they are saying in effect to one another. And so you have this contrast between a very good, fine preaching ministries and then this kind of modern singing with the bongo drums and the bass guitars and the worship leaders. Because, sophisticated provision of electronic technology has come in. When I went to Russia, that was one of the striking features. We went to some of the small churches there. Maybe there would be 25 people, and we would be a visiting group, and the group that I went with of Russians, they brought in all this equipment, microphones and loudspeakers and amplifiers, and spent half an hour fitting it all up just to speak to and lead to 25 people, because it is so ingrained in them now that all that equipment is absolutely essential for the modern praise of God.
Wow.
It's
interesting because of the Russian...
The disappearance of a hymn book. A hymn book is a very wonderful thing. You know how it's divided up in its various sections. You have the triune majesty of God. And then you have the morning hymns and the evening hymns, and then you go on to the person and work of Christ and his arrival in the world, Christmas time, and then his life and his sufferings and his resurrection, and 200 hymns, and then you go on to the Holy Spirit. I remember Dr. Lloyd-Jones in a discussion on this at a conference in Wales, and he picked up a hymn book and he said, how many hymns are here on the Holy Spirit? And he said, 28. And how many hymns are there on Jesus Christ? He said, he counted up, 190. Oh, just about right, he said. Just correct to have that sort of emphasis in our praise on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on, then, of course, the Lord's Day, and then the work of the church, and baptism, the Lord's Supper, and then sanctification, adoption, union with Christ, the second coming of Christ, the eternal state. And you have a little systematic theology in a hymn book. And when we don't have any hymn books any longer, when a person doesn't refer to them and read them in personal times of devotion, it seems to me you are losing a lot, because hymns bring our affections to the great doctrines of the faith. Just like Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress, through wonderful personalities, brought our feelings to the great truths that are found in the Westminster and the 1689 Confession and the Heidelberg Catechism. Hymns just can elevate our hearts and bring a certain warmth. The response after a sermon is sung of an appropriate hymn, when you've preached on the cross and then you sing together one of the greatest of all hymns, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Amen.
It's a fitting climax to that that act of worship.
We have to go to our first break, Reverend Thomas. if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen @gmail.com. Please, as always, give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say if you disagree with your own pastor over something about singing and music in the church, or perhaps you're even a pastor and you disagree with your fellow elders or your congregation or your denomination over this subject in some way. We would understand that you would want to remain anonymous, but if it's a general question, please give us at least your first name, city and state and country of residence. And by the way, it is interesting, before I go to the break, that you were saying that when you visited Russia, they had all this elaborate equipment they were setting up, when in Russia, where Russian Orthodoxy dominates, they have a strictly a cappella worship. And it's interesting that the modern church, I don't know if it's a conscious rebellion against that. Or
I wonder.
But my question for you before we go to the break, that you can answer when we return to the break, is could you please list some basic elements, even though our hymnody is very diverse and should be, in fact, even the Psalms are diverse, can you give us some basic elements that every good song of praise to our Lord God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ should contain, a minimal number of basic elements that should be present? And you could answer that when we come back from our first break. And don't go away. We'll be right back with Reverend Jeff Thomas and Singing in the Church right after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnson, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz, as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, please try to purchase as many books as possible, as frequently as possible, from solid-ground-books.com. Every time you purchase a book from Solid Ground Christian Books, you are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air for a longer future because they are a key sponsor of this program. Make sure you always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So don't forget solid-ground-books.com when it comes to Easter, when it comes to birthday gifts, wedding anniversaries, and a multitude of other reasons why you would buy gifts, and also, obviously, to replenish your own library and edify yourself with the finest in Christian literature. That's solid-ground-books.com. Give them a big thank you. Because they have added a financial gift on top of their advertising bill this month that is urgently needed and is just as much appreciated. We thank Mike Gadosh, the founder of solid-ground-books.com, for his benevolence and generosity and his belief in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, so much so that he remains one of our largest sponsors. And he also happens to be a mutual friend of my guest today. Both my guest today, Reverend Jeff Thomas, and myself cherish this dear brother and have held him as a friend for many years. We are now back from our break, obviously, and we are now entering into the next segment of our interview. And before the break, as you may remember, Reverend Thomas, I asked you what would be some basic elements that should exist in every song of praise to Christ, even though we have great diversity and should have great diversity in our singing, because even the Psalms, the God-breathed songbook in the Old Testament, even those Psalms are very diverse. So obviously our modern hymns of praise should be no less diverse. But if you could, tell us what the commonality should be.
Right. Well, there's a twofold purpose. The big picture, the twofold purpose of singing is, one, to glorify God, and two, to edify one another. Those aspects should structure our whole approach to the hymns that we sing. Hymns are to be judged by the biblical nature of their words, and then whether the music enhances and serves what the hymn is saying. So that would be the basic structure, and then the elements of adoration of God, confession of our sins to him. Jesus has told us, you know, we are to pray and we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then thanksgiving for all the blessings. There should be always hymns of thanksgiving present. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with a view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. And then there should be then a yearning and a longing to know God better, to serve him better, to view the future with hope and anticipation. And the form of such hymns, then, is important, and the accompaniment should just be that. It should bring a new tune to us. I remember once on a Monday morning in Westminster Seminary in 1962, I was walking down the corridor, and who came walking towards me but Professor John Murray. And he stopped her. How are you, Mr. Thomas? He said, that's always how he referred to me, Mr. Thomas. How are you? And he said, you're a Welshman, aren't you? I said, yes. And you love singing. Welshmen love singing, yes. Do you know, he said, I learned a new tune yesterday. Oh, I did enjoy it. and with his quavery old voice, standing in the corridor, he sung a metrical psalm to me to a tune he'd learned the day before. It showed for me his humility and his sense of praise and the reality, the way he entered into worship and his openness to discover then new melodies to express the great old truths of the gospel. And so those would be the elements: Acts A, adoration; C, confession; D, thanksgiving; S, supplication, the familiar outline of prayer, and that should be the basis of our praise. Hymns should be characterized by a measure of assurance that we do believe the promises that God makes to the very chief of sinners who trusts in the Savior. If our faith in him is as thin as a spider's thread, Chris, if that faith is joined to Jesus Christ, that can't be broken. That'll take us across the lake of fire. That will take us across the bottomless pit. That will present us faultless before him in that great day. And assurance and confidence in the mercy of God to sinners, that should be there. And that comes to us then through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we're to fill our hymnology, and the great hymns, they'll all be centered. They'll be Trinitarian. There'll be a verse, like many of them are, on the Father, then the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. We are unashamedly Trinitarian in our doxology. And there also will be an element of confession. Oh, what poor Christians we are. We feel, after many years of following him and serving him, that we are just beginning to become Christians, and just beginning to realize the great cost of our redemption, and what the Savior did to achieve that. And so a great hymn like Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Amen.
Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen.
Hymns that focus on the glorious accomplishments and achievements of Jesus Christ, that we are saved not by our accomplishments, not by what we've done. We are not singing on Sundays, "Somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good. That's okay for the Sound of Music and Maria there." We are not singing that. We're singing, it's all because of what he did.
Amen.
It's all because of Christ that we are what we are, that we've come so far, that we're not in the flames of hell shrieking in agony, but we're in church. We're surrounded by the people we want to spend eternity with, and we're singing the praises of the Christ who's brought us there and has kept us. Goodness and mercy have followed us all the days of our lives, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that note of assurance should accompany the triune doxological emphases of all great hymns. And we will often sing, "Make this poor self grow less and less. Let's love him more. Let's serve him more. Let's give more and more. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." Those are the characteristics of all true hymns.
We have a question from Christopher in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. He asks, have you ever heard of the Gadsby hymnal? That's G-A-D as in David, S-B-Y. I encountered it a number of years ago at a Bible conference and noticed that they began to adopt it and used it for at least several years in a row. I thoroughly enjoyed it and found the hymns rich with the doctrines of sovereign grace. I was wondering if you are aware of this hymnal and if you appreciate it as much as I do. This is obviously the hymnal by the 18th and 19th century English Baptist pastor William Gadsby.
Yes, that's right. There's a wonderful biography of him that my friend Ben Ramsbottom has written, and it's just it's extraordinary that with his high Calvinism that he had such success in his evangelism because he loved Jesus Christ and preached about Jesus Christ and hemmed in sinners so that their only hope was in entrusting themselves to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, for time and eternity. And that was the driving force of this most eloquent of preachers. And the hymn book, of course, is used in the Gospel Standard denomination of Baptists to this day. And my hymn book, which is now out of print, that we used for 45 years in Aberystwyth, Grace Hymns, selected many of the greatest of those hymns. It is a most interesting and useful, and it should accompany our devotions. Say we had Valley of Vision and we can read a prayer that the Banner of Truth has brought out in that book, and then we should have Gadsby's hymnal, or Trinity hymnal, or Christian hymns, and they are in the same theocentric tradition of fine experiential hymnody.
And you mentioned before grace hymns as well.
And fine poetry.
Yes, and you before mentioned grace hymns as well. That's the hymnal of Grace Community Church in California, where John MacArthur serves as the pastor, right?
Right.
Yeah, Philip Webb, who was a professional opera singer, helped develop that hymnal. Well, thank you very much for that excellent question, Christopher. You have a great name, and I am also originally from Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. Keep listening to the program and keep spreading the word about it on Long Island and everywhere else that you may happen to have contact. We're going to our middle break right now, our midway break, which is longer than other breaks, so we ask of you to be patient, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they, by FCC regulations, have to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, with their own public service announcements and other things. So while they air their own local announcements in the middle of the show, we air our globally heard commercials, and we urge you to please, as often as you can, especially if it has some relevance to you, write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more successfully and frequently patronize them. And that way, you will further ensure that they remain our advertisers, which means you will further ensure that we will remain on the air for a longer future. So please write down the information provided by our advertisers. And also, write down questions for Jeff Thomas on singing in the church and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from...
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, to hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, you can also order by phone by calling their toll-free number at cvbbs.com. That's 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. You can only call that number, let me put it this way, you can only successfully call that number, because you could call it anytime you want, but there's only going to be somebody on the other end answering the call, because there is no voicemail, between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. through 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 800-656-0231. Always remember to tell the folks at CVBBS that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And as I frequently do, I'd like to urge you, since we have two book-related advertisers, and one is a publisher and the other is purely a book distributor, meaning the latter, CVBBS, that they are only a book distributor. They do not publish their own books. So what I would strongly urge you to do is first go to solid-ground-books.com, the website of Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com. Make a long list of books that you want to order from them, and then go to cvbbs.com and order them there. This way you help both of our book-related advertisers. And always remember, with all of our advertisers, to tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Reverend Jeff Thomas, the pastor emeritus of Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales, where he served as the under-shepherd for over half a century, before we return to our discussion on singing in the church, I just have a couple of announcements to make. First of all, until we hear otherwise, as far as we know, we are still going to be having the next spring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon at the Bongiorno Conference Center in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, on Friday, May 29th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And God willing, we are still having as our guest speaker for the very first time, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who is truly one of the most powerful preachers on the planet Earth. He is pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. He's also the former chancellor of African Christian University, where he now is a lecturer. And you don't want to miss hearing Dr. Mbewe preach, even if you've heard him on sermon audio or other ways, either through tape, the old-fashioned tapes, or CDs, or MP3s, or on the internet. You don't want to miss the opportunity of hearing him preach live and in person. That is, God willing, if there is no ban on public gatherings over 10 people in May, or should I say specifically May 29th. So I hope that all of you who are men in ministry leadership and are able to get to Carlisle, Pennsylvania on May 29th, I hope that you register for this free event, where not only will you hear Dr. Mbewe preach for free, you will also be fed a sumptuous meal by the Bongiorno Conference Center for free, and you'll also, on top of everything, be leaving with a heavy sack of brand new books personally selected by me from publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom who have donated these books for our men in ministry leadership attending the luncheon. So, if you would like to register, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put luncheon in the subject line, and you will be registered absolutely free of charge. Last but not least, folks, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, you love hearing the guests and topics on the show that frequently are never heard anywhere else, you love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with your friends, family, and loved ones. You just really look forward to this show and take advantage of it. Well, I'm asking you, if you don't want it to disappear, please, please, more than ever before, prayerfully consider donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as frequently as you can and as generously as you can. This coronavirus scare has damaged us very seriously financially. Two of my very largest financial supporters have had to put their advertising on hold, their support of this program financially on hold for two, possibly three or more months because of their own businesses being harmed by the coronavirus scare. So please help me make up for that loss. Please, if you really love the show and you don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or a credit card, and you could also mail in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please never, ever, ever siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Supporting your church is a command of God, and in fact, during this time, your church needs your financial support more than ever, very likely, because with churches being forced to only conduct worship services via live streaming, many people have either delayed in their giving or have just not given because they're not physically present, or because they themselves have been so financially harmed that it's impossible for them to give. So please, don't stop giving to your church, or don't give less to your church by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That is also a command of God in Scripture to provide for your own family and your own home. So if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please, we urge you, if you love the show, give as frequently as you can and as generously as you can to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to ironsharpensironradio.com and clicking support. If you want to advertise with us, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We certainly could use your advertising dollars more than ever, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what I believe. You don't need to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that's, at the very least, compatible with what we believe here. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, wherever it is that you live, and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. There is no such thing as a lone wolf maverick Christian in the New Testament who is not under the authority of local elders in a local Bible-believing church, who just floats around from church to church, visiting churches, or going to no church at all, thinking that all they need is their own brain and the Bible alone in the woods or something. This is not a biblical concept, and you're living in rebellion against God if you're not at least prayerfully looking for a Bible-believing church. And if you need help finding one, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, including Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales. I have helped people in our audience from all over the planet find churches near them that they have visited and joined. Sometimes they have visited these churches while they're on vacation, and sometimes they have referred these churches to friends, family, and loved ones who are without a church home wherever it is they live. So please, if you need help finding a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Reverend Jeff Thomas about singing in the church. And that email address, again, is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Reverend Thomas,
yes.
What do you think about something that I said earlier? There are churches that I believe elevate the role of singing too highly in the corporate worship because they wind up shaving down very often the time allotted to the actual preaching of the Word of God, which I believe is the most important element of the gathered corporate worship. Do you agree with me on that, that we have to be careful as much as singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is commanded and is as glorious and vital as it is, that we can overdo it?
So I'm with you 100% on that. I think there is an important place for singing. There is a biblical ground for it. But at the same time, that for 45 minutes, a congregation should be standing and singing. The edge has gone off. They're weary then by the time you get up and start to preach. I had a friend of mine, and he's very very blunt and straightforward, and he's a wonderfully gifted man and very much in demand. So he'll go along now to say, an intervarsity group or a campus crusade group at a university. And he'll look for the leader, and he'll say, you're leading. Right. You can have three, he said. Okay? You can have three hymns. You can have two hymns and a reading. You can have a hymn, a reading, and a prayer. You can have three, and then I'm up on my feet, and I'm preaching. I've got so much to do, I can't sit here for 45 minutes and listen to you singing. After three, I'm preaching, and then after I go, you can stay and sing as long as you want to. But you can just have three, he says. And I think that's very interesting. We say three, don't we? After the third hymn, then we'll preach the word. It'll be a hymn that we'll lead. We'll sing a hymn, "Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea." And we'll sing a hymn in preparation for the word that we're going to hear. And we'll also have a reading and a prayer and the notices. We'll have those things. But then we'll preach. So after half an hour, we're up on our feet. But this business of extensive hymnody, and then after we've preached, handing the service back over to what are called worship leaders, who then comment on what they've heard, and then we'll sing, and then they'll say, "We'll repeat it, and we'll repeat it," and the meeting still goes on. I'm afraid I feel that that is an abuse of hymnody. I was in a famous church which has now gone from the wonderful foundations that were laid for over 30 years by the famous minister that was there, and now it's gone over to a lot of singing. And two middle-aged men came in to that church, and I noticed them, and they didn't sing any of the hymns, and they were looking around all the time, and they didn't stay. After about 20 minutes, they went out. They lost them. There was nothing done to grip them and minister to those men. And that was so very sad. We need to show the congregation that sung worship is not the main means by which saved sinners experience God. They experience him when Jesus Christ's beauty and glorious achievements and his teaching and his presence there with them and his willingness to save them, when that is presented to them, that is what God always blesses, because the Holy Spirit loves to exalt Jesus Christ by the sanctification of Christians and the saving of the lost. And it's not by singing. You might have a good sing and enjoy it, but you may not enjoy singing. But what you do need is to hear of the love of God in Jesus Christ.
Amen. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who asks, "I know that this is not a hard and fast biblical rule, but I find great wisdom in the churches that I have attended who have, after a very compelling, heart-searching message, refrain from having a final hymn sung after the sermon."
Yeah.
So you agree with that as well?
Well, I remember when Professor J. Adams came to our church in Aberystwyth, and he preached as fine a message as I've heard a man preach. And he didn't want a hymn at the end. He wanted the power of that word to remain there. He was afraid it might be dissipated by people being led away from the word that he had nailed to their consciences. And you know, when you preach in the open air, you don't sing. You preach and you're standing there in your naked helplessness. I remember there was one occasion when I was standing on the promenade, the sea behind me, a few seagulls, people walking up and down, and I had such a help in preaching the Word of God. I felt their saving power here tonight, and after I finished, I prayed that God would, a brief prayer of blessing. A year later, I was in the Dudley Convention in the Midlands, and a man came on to me and introduced himself to me and spoke about the message I just preached. And he said, "Do you know?" He said, "2 weeks ago, I was preaching in a church not far away, and I met a young woman there, and she said, oh, she'd only been a Christian a year." And I said, "Oh, when were you converted?" She said, "Well, it was very strange. I was in Aberystwyth, and I was walking along the promenade, and I saw a group of people, and a man was preaching. And I listened, and I was converted that night." And I've always put those two events
praise
together.
God.
there was no singing at the end. We left them with a Christ who was willing to be, to accept and receive a sinner who came to him just as she was. So, yes, I think you can have some flexibility there, and it isn't necessary for the service always to end, but many times a hymn can fittingly be the expression of response. You can sing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee," because you are moved by what you've heard of Jesus Christ. And that articulates, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my..." I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, found in him a dwelling place, and he has made me glad. And that is, again, such a fitting response to the invitation of the gospel. So let's be flexible about those things.
Amen. And we're going to go to our final break. It's going to be much more brief than the last break. So if you have a question that you want to ask of Reverend Jeff Thomas, do it quickly, because we're going to be over before you know it. He is returning tomorrow to discuss another topic, a real evangelism. But if you want to ask a question about singing in the church, please send in a question immediately to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with the final segment of our interview with Jeff Thomas right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled, Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with about a half hour left is Reverend Jeff Thomas, who was pastor of Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales for over half a century. He is also very well known amongst Banner of Truth supporters as being a prolific writer and a frequent conference speaker for their conferences and the conferences of other faithfully reformed ministries. And if you want to join us on the air with a question about singing in the church, please do so immediately. We're running out of time. ChrisArnzen at gmail.com is the email address. And we have a listener that we haven't heard from in a while, somebody who has been a frequent contributor to the program with questions that have always edified and enlightened and added much to the conversation. We have Murray in Kinross, Scotland, listening. And Murray says, after 30 years in the pathway as a believer, I still feel awkward about hymns directed to the Holy Spirit rather than just being about the Holy Spirit. What advice would Jeff Thomas be able to give, please? And he says, just a quick note regarding Gadsby's hymns. I believe it includes the beautiful hymn, Immortal Honors Rest on Jesus' Head, a hymn very dear to my heart, and I would assume to Jeff Thomas, too.
Yes, indeed. Oh, I love that hymn. Of course, Gadsby wrote that hymn, and yes, I know it off by heart. I can close my hymn book and take my glasses off and sing it with joy when that's announced. I was visiting my daughter and preaching for her in her church, and I had chosen it. And the organist said to me, 3 weeks running, we've been asked to sing this hymn. So it's been rediscovered and sung mightily. Now, hymns to the Holy Spirit. I remember another Murray, Professor John Murray, and him saying that talking about communion with God, you know, there's the great John Owen treatise, communion with the Father, communion with the Son, and communion with the Holy Spirit. That is, you address them about particular aspects of the economy of redemption that they are more committed to than the other members. The incarnation, that's the work of Christ, the atonement on the cross. And you speak to the Lord Jesus and you express your thanks and worship for his dying love. And the Holy Spirit then, yes, you talk to him about his regeneration, that he should come into your heart and life. Sometimes the sewers here in London are cluttered with the most awful stuff, great banks of it. Imagine us saying to the Queen and Prince Philip and Prince Charles, get your galoshes on and put your sou'wester on and here's a shovel and we'll get you down into the sewers to clean out all the rubbish. Of course, we'd never do that. There are men that do it, and they do it properly, and they do it well. But I'm wanting to say the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts that are far more foul than the effluent that clogs London sewers. And he comes into these dark, stinking hearts of ours, and he takes up his residence, his home there, and he sanctifies and he purifies and he washes continually, constantly. And when we speak to the Holy Spirit, then we tell him how awed we are at his pity and mercy, that he should come into our lives and set up his home there in our hearts, where every imagination is only evil continually. And so I'm happy to sing a hymn to the Holy Spirit, to praise him and thank him. I'm happy to speak. I do not believe that all prayer should be to the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. But I think that's a general pattern. But when you pray to the members of the Godhead, you have communion with them individually. Read John Owen's wonderful work on this, and that will help you to be more liberated in addressing God in that way.
By the way, can you be more specific about what John Owen wrote in regard to this subject? Because this is a fascinating subject, because the scriptures seem very silent about approaching the Holy Spirit alone without including the other members of the Godhead. Of course, we would always, in some way, include the other members of the Godhead, but sometimes someone might, especially in a charismatic or Pentecostal service, address the Holy Spirit alone in a song of praise or prayer and so on.
Yes, I would feel in public prayer on the Lord's Day, you would it would be unacceptable that you would begin by addressing the Holy Spirit. You would speak to God, wouldn't you? And you would address Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then you would think about the work that they've done, and you would try not to make it a summary of a Burkhoff systematic theology, but that there would be, your heart would be touched and moved, and you would be conscious of the unending access you have to the indwelling Holy Spirit, and you would thank him for his willingness to come into such a wretched heart and life as yours, and you would confess to him that you had grieved him too often, that you had quenched his work within you, and you would say sorry to him, and you would communicate him to a person. And no, it can be abused, but I think the persons of the Godhead have distinctive roles. The Father alone sends the Son and sends the Holy Spirit. The Savior alone enters the Virgin's womb and makes atonement and tastes death. The Holy Spirit then are sent by the Father and Son and comes into our lives and quickens us and gives us a new birth, and we are right to respond to them in that way. I wish I knew more of Owen to respond to you, Chris, with that lovely question of yours, but we can say we know these wonderful booksellers that you're talking about on the show who will be able to advise you how to get hold of Owen on communion with God.
Amen. And don't forget solid-ground-books.com and also cvbbs.com. We have, oh, by the way, Murray, thank you so much for joining our conversation again after a fairly long absence, if I'm not mistaken. And we look forward to hearing from you more frequently during the program. And please keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Kinross, Scotland, and the UK and beyond. We have Johnny in Queens, New York, who says, some in our congregation are rather passive during the worship singing, but are excited when a choir or a soloist is performing. How can we encourage our brethren to focus on the worshiping of God and not just be moved when entertained?
Oh, what a good question. Yes, oh, it grieves me to look down from the pulpit and see individuals, their lips are closed, and all around them there are people singing, and they are not singing. It speaks of a coldness of heart. It testifies to an unregenerate soul. We have to encourage them in every way. God accepts lisping, stammering tongues. God accepts a croaky voice and someone who can't keep a tune, whereas then someone who sings like Pavarotti or Kyriakonawa and can make the hairs on the back of your head stand on edge. Well, what is that if they don't know the Lord? And if it's a performance, you know that with regards to a preacher, any hint of someone who is acting and is not reflecting the heart that is totally genuine, is speaking words of truth, then you think, he's putting it on. This is an act, and he's lost, and you've lost him. If you're being slick and just rehearsing well-known stories. So let's be very, very careful we don't become the actor, and that the stirring music that a choir can sing, you know, you can be greatly stirred. When I was at a conference with you, Chris, in December in New York.
Yes, the Founders Conference. Foundations Conference.
To hear a performance of the Messiah and all those biblical words. I always am touched and moved by the gravity and passion and beauty of the melody and how allied to the words of Scripture it was. And when it came to the Hallelujah chorus, the congregation stood as one man, and we were singing in our hearts, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, forever, forever, and He shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. It was incredibly moving, and I can just see how people were touched just by the beauty of the music and the grandeur of the performance, those wonderful sopranos that were there that night. And we had a bass singer. Well, he looked like a heavyweight boxing champion, the way he moved as he sang those hymns. Those words were very, very moving. But, a lisping, stammering tongue will be a fragrance in heaven if it reflects a heart that's been renewed and a life that's been transformed by redeeming grace.
Amen. We have Cynthia from Findlay, Ohio, who says, may I just mention that sometimes people do not sing because they are so overcome with emotion. Sometimes it is just hard to keep back the sobbing.
Yeah. That can happen. Sometimes you're full up, and singing a hymn after God has helped me to preach a message, I move my lips and I whisper the words, but I haven't got the power and the strength to sing them aloud. After a few verses, it comes back to me. One hymn, modern hymn, that's touched me greatly is The Power of the Cross. And I love to hear a congregation singing that hymn. And that, because it was new to me a year or two ago when I first heard it and learned it, I was very stirred. And, that's true. Exactly what you say. Some hymns are so filled with the pathos of redeeming love that you are lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Amen. In fact, the very first time I heard a hymn sung, in fact, it was in New York City at a Bible conference, before the throne of God above. It was probably 11 or 12 years ago I first heard that song sung.
Yes.
I began weeping uncontrollably and could not even sing along with the words. And I just want to share the words of that hymn with the listeners. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is Love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, the perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. That is such a beautiful and glorious and awesome hymn. And
it is written 100 years ago. Yeah, by Charlie Lead Shenness, isn't it? Born in 1841. Yeah, so And then that tune that so perfectly matches it has helped to elevate it and given it to a new generation all over the world. So wherever I go, that hymn is loved and sung from the heart.
In fact, I have a strong suggestion to anyone listening that may be involved in the Trinity hymnal. Please include that in a future printing because it's not in there.
Oh, is it not? What a shame.
Reverend Thomas, I want to make sure that you have at least 4 minutes to unburden your heart and give our listeners what you most want etched in their own hearts and minds in regard to this subject before the program is over.
Well, it's... There was a time in my life when I had been raised in a denomination which was rather weak and insipid. And I went to camp. I'd been converted with a shallow understanding of all that Jesus was and what he had done. Just a glimpse that I'd been forgiven because of the Lamb of God. And I was in camp, and the officers were speaking. And they were speaking about somebody they called the doctor. And that they were students and young men, and they're not the kind of men that are generally respectful and speaking words of awe. But they talked of this man, and, oh, I wanted to know more. Who was this man? And a month later, I noticed on the Saturday night paper that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, for that was the man, was preaching at the ordination service of a new Presbyterian minister in town. So I got the train to Cardiff, and I walked down Cathedral Road, and I saw their memorial hall, and I went in and was struck. Every seat was taken. The men had suits and ties. The women wore hats. And we sang. We sang Wesley. We sang Top Lady. We sang a great hymn, A Debtor to Mercy Alone, of Covenant Mercy I Sing, nor fear with thy righteousness on my person an offering to bring. The wrath of a sin-hating God with me can have nothing to do. My Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. I was introduced to Top Lady and that great hymn. One day a congregation will gather in Aberystwyth to say goodbye. I won't be there. My body will be there, but I won't be there. We'll sing the great hymns that I have chosen, and that will be the ultimate hymn of praise, A Debtor to Mercy Alone. That is what I'll say if God asks me, why should I let you into my heaven? And I'll say, Jesus, mercy. Jesus, mercy. That is the only thing I can say. The only grounds for my entry is because of God's mercy through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And that great hymn then sums up so powerfully all that great hymnody can do to stir and motivate and strengthen a Christian's response to the gospel.
Amen.
I remember hearing Billy Graham in 1954 in Wembley Stadium, being very stirred, Billy preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit in those days, and he preached on I Am the Way and the Truth and the Life, and 10 of us went back on the tube across London. We sang Blessed Assurance and How Great Thou Art on that trip to everybody in that compartment. Our response to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Amen. And folks, don't forget that the website for Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales is alfredplacechurch.org.uk. alfredplacechurch.org.uk. and the Ministry of Banner of Truth, for whom our guest writes and speaks, banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. We look forward, Reverend Thomas, to you joining us again tomorrow on on the subject, real evangelism.
Yes.
And I want to thank everybody who wrote in today and all that who listened. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.